Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future and Old Dad 24.
It's your boy Sam at More Life One.
Hey, we would first like to thank everybody, man. We want to give a big thank you to everyone who has checked out the podcast. We started this to really speak to the people who were tired of the traditional coverage of FSU football, and all the feedback we've gotten has been great.
Yeah, man. We encourage that feedback, man, and you know, the listenership has, like, really exceeded our expectations. You know, I really wouldn't think it would be that big. I thought it would just be a little something we do on the side as a hobby, man. But, you know, I feel like I got a little responsibility now. You know, I got to get these things out every week.
No, I absolutely agree. So, today we'll be previewing the FSU-Syracuse game as only we can. James Blackman, he's still starting. Why is that? What do we expect to see Saturday, and what do they need to do to turn things around? And if they lose, will this be Willie's last game? Sam, you ready?
Let's get it.
Let's get it. Alright, Sam, so it seems like based on everything we're hearing, James Blackman is still going to be the starting quarterback. You agree with that decision?
I'm surprised. You know, I know I stated it emphatically on the last episode that I don't know how you could roll him back out there, you know, and that might've been a little emotional, you know what I'm saying? Watching, especially the last 30 seconds, that was hard to watch, man. But, I'm thinking there could be two reasons why Willie's doing that. Right. And I think reason number one is he don't want to get caught like he did this year, without developing a quarterback and hoping a quarterback's coming. Because, I mean, we all believe King is going to be here. But, hey, we believe last year that Hurts and Fields was going to be here, you know. So, if his goal is to – if he make it through this season, next year he want to have Blackman probably playing good football, you know. And hopefully you don't have to rush Sims out there early in the season. Maybe you can get five or six good starts out of Blackman. And second reason I think is when talented guys are playing bad and a coach sticks with that guy, that feeds your culture when that guy turns around and start playing good football. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I mean, do I think it's a calculated risk for Willie Taggart to roll Blackman out there? Yeah, I do, man. I think that's a huge risk, man. I would much rather know what I'm finna get out of the quarterback position come Saturday and know what I'm gonna scheme up. But if he does turn it around, if Blackman do turn it around, I think it'll turn the whole team around. And that's important. And I think it opened up a lot more possibilities as the season go on. But in my opinion, it look like Taggart don't push all his chips to the middle of the table, man.
Wow. So, you know, you made a really good point, something I hadn't even really thought of, and that is the bigger picture, right? Him not really throwing all his eggs in one basket in the most part. In other words, saying, all right, if we don't get King, then more than likely Blackman is my starter next year. So I understand we can sacrifice wins. We may not win the games that we expect to win. We may lose some games that Hornibrook would help us win. But for long-term viability, it makes more sense for me to start Blackman. It's a risk. It's definitely a risk, and it's not anything I would do. I think when your job's on the line, you kind of have to you have to make short-term decisions. I believe he is in a four-week audition. I can't say for sure what that meeting was about, but I would think it went to something like, listen, you got four games, and if you lose any one of these next four games, then you'll be gone. So I think that's how that conversation went. So if my job was on the line, which his job, in my opinion, is on the line over these next four games, I would have to go with the guy who I believe runs my offense better, the guy who my offensive coordinator wants, and the guy who I feel like is a smarter quarterback at this point, as far as the ability to see guys open and understand what's the next, what are we trying to set up here? Part of being a good quarterback is understanding that this play is setting up the next play, which is setting up the next play, and understanding what the game plan is for the offense. I believe as a fifth-year senior in Hornibrook, he's been a part of those meetings a lot longer to be able to understand, okay, this play is not necessarily a throwaway play, but I'm running this play so that the next time they see it, they're going to think this, but we're doing something off of it. And so I think you get to a point where Blackman is, he misses a lot of those. And I think it's just because he's not in the system. So I understand what you're saying. And I think that's a very good point you bring up when you say, you know, he's looking at the future and saying, well, if we don't get King, because just like I was betting that we would get Fields and I was betting that we would get Hurts, but look where we ended up at. So I think he may be saying, my future is going to be tied to Blackman, whether I want it to be or not. So therefore, I need to see what Blackman can do. I need to see him grow, and I need to see him develop. And the only way he's going to do that is by playing. I thought I was right along with you last when we did our last podcast, where I said he would never see the field for me again, just because you reach a point where I can't have my quarterback getting too high and too low. And the one thing about Blackman is he lives with every touchdown and he dies with every pick. And you can't. That can't be your way, because then when things are going bad, things will snowball on you and things continue to go bad. And then you start pressing and you start missing guys and you start overthrowing because you get jittery, or you start underthrowing passes, you start guiding, you start aiming the ball. And so I think you really end up in a situation where your quarterback your quarterback can't be too overly emotional on anything. So,
hey, but that's why I was talking. But, hey, B, so if Tiger go push all his chips to the table, middle of the table, mm-hmm. and he get fired because of James Blackman, I mean,
right.
in Willie Taggart's defense, he do got $17 million waiting on him not to go to work again. Like, $17 million, he ain't got to go back to work again. So, I don't, maybe it's a lot of risk to us, but I don't know, man. You know what I'm saying? You pay me $17 million not to work no more. You know, but I ain't say he tried to get fired. You know, we're just joking.
No, of course.
You know what I'm saying?
I feel you on it. I believe if I believe what Will is saying, and I take him at his word,
right?
I give him face value, then this was his dream job.
Yeah.
So at this point, $17 million is great, man. I made bank. But at the end of the day, I lost my dream.
Right.
And I think that hurts you more than even the 17. Man, there's certain things money can't buy. And I believe Willie really, really loves this university. Again, it would be like me becoming a head coach of Florida State. I've grew up a Florida State fan. I'm a diehard Seminole. And all of a sudden, I've now risen to the ranks of, you know, through coaching, to where now they're going to give me an opportunity to coach Florida State. It wouldn't matter what my salary would be.
Right.
Because at this point, all I want to see is FSU be great, because I'm a fan and I love it. So I believe Willie believes that as well. And Willie is a part of that same, you know what I mean? The same way we are,
right,
as fans, and we live and die with all of it. I think that's why these press conferences be so downtrodden and be so, you know, they weigh so heavy on them, because it's like, man, he dealing with it as a coach, but also is feeling it as a fan as well. Like, man, I'm letting down the people who believe in me. I'm letting down my universe, the team that I love. I really do believe this is dream job, which is, again, I'm rooting for Willie to succeed, because if you got a guy who believes in this university, you know, if he does succeed, he not going nowhere. You ain't got to worry about Alabama calling. You ain't got to worry about Clemson calling. You ain't got to worry about nobody else calling and being able to tug at him and be like, hey, man, we want you to get. No, there's not a dollar amount that will be able to pull him away.
Right.
Because you at the school that you love. But you at your dream job. That means if I'm at my dream job, there's no higher level to it. You know what I mean?
Right.
This is the highest level.
Right.
So at this point, you know, you got your coach for the next 30 years if you want. You know what I mean?
Right.
If he wanted to. You got your next body.
That's true.
So again, I'm pulling for Willie, man, so much, because you don't end up with the Jimbo situation where you end up with a mercenary. And I think just about any other coach you bring in, you hope they succeed and you want them to be good, but at the same time, is this their destination job? You know what I mean?
Right.
Is this the end of the road? Even with Mark Stoops, you know what I mean? Is this the end of the road for Mark? You know what I mean? Or if Mark wins here,
man, Kentucky need to be the end of the road for Mark Stoops. I mean, Jesus Christ, man. I don't even understand why.
No, I 100%
man,
agree.
Let me tell you something, man. We got some boosters, and them boosters have made a lot of money, so I just kind of imagine that they are smart people. But this right. Mark Stoops thing, man, that might be the – man, come on, man. Aim higher, man. Jesus Christ, that's retarded.
I 100% agree with you. Listen, but his was funny, right? How many we've watched the Kentucky Florida game the last three years when Mark I'm talking when Mark at least had a chance to win it. He won one of those, he lost the last two. Both with fourth quarter leads. Sounds a lot like Willie. Both with fourth quarter leads, one of which two times in the same game, he did not have a defensive back covering a wide receiver.
Imagine that. Imagine a Willie Taggart coach team. About to beat Florida and a DB not on the field.
And the guy gets a wide open touchdown.
Dude, the Barbarians would be at the gate in Dolt Campbell Stadium, bro. They would be at the gate.
I would be at the
Everybody
gate.
Everybody would be at the gate. Yeah, you wouldn't be able to get Barnett or Taggart up out of there, man. Can you imagine that? If people
at home. At home that happened. Man, please. Come on, they, man. You talking about fans want to fight Jimbo at the end? Man, Willie would have had to show some people the fair one, I promise. It would have been a problem, man. It definitely would have been a problem. Yeah. So no, I 100% agree, man. This you want Willie to succeed. Absolutely, man. There's no reason why you wouldn't be pulling for Willie. I know a lot of people have given up or whatever. And listen, I'm in the camp. Understand, I'm seeing the same things y'all are seeing, but I also understand that there's a bigger picture to this and that there's a lot more to what you're seeing. You know what I mean? I think we've gotten to the point where it's just, well, he's a bad coach. So therefore this and that. And I think you get into a situation of a confirmation bias. You know, I was talking to a buddy of mine about this and I said, you know, you really, when you have assumed that this person cannot do a certain job and he doesn't do it well, then everything that they do appears to be bad coaching. And everything that they do falls in line to what you already believe about the person.
Right.
And so you start overlooking things because you just basically trying to prove yourself right. Oh, see, he did touch and touch. He did this and that. Like, I looked at the whole icing the kicker and the timeouts. I look at those situations completely different. And I know it seems like, you know, Willie is in over his head and that he's making a lot of coaching decisions. I think he's being overly cautious. I believe he is feeling the pressure and he is understanding the gravity of each situation and of each win and of each loss.
Right.
So he's trying to be extra careful in these situations.
Right.
I didn't see him as icing the kicker. I saw him as, man, let's get everything right. Let's get everything on the same page. Let's make sure we got a hunt. This is a very big kick. This is maybe a win or lose kick. We may not get another possession. So you know what we need to do? Let's get this right. So instead of rushing him out there, because again, even though, man, you get 40 seconds. So again, hey, fourth down, defense come off the field, offense come off. And for a regular kick, absolutely, do what you do. But I think he thought in this situation, no, I'm not going to rush him out there. Instead, I'm gonna let's get everything under control, make sure everybody know what they're supposed to do so that we can make him as most comfortable so that he can make the kick. And so, but again, if you're looking at it as, man, Willie Taggart don't know what he's doing, he out here calling timeout, are you Willie Taggart a bad coach? Then it's easy to see the other side of it, right?
Right.
But when you take out the emotions and you take out some of those things, you can kind of understand a little bit. Well, you know, I can't say necessarily these are bad coaching decisions, but more so of a coach who's feeling the pressure and a little bit overly cautious about things that he normally wouldn't be overly cautious about.
Right. So what is going to spark the turnaround for the team? What does the turnaround need to look like for this team? What needs to happen for this team to turn it around?
Your quarterback has to play better. I think it all boils down. I believe they lost last game because I don't believe their quarterback played very well. I believe, as a matter of fact, I can argue in just about every game they have lost has been as a result of the quarterback not playing well. And it's, again, look at the Virginia game. That's a wide open Terry. He misses down the sideline. Series before that, misses the guy at the top of the right who's also wide open. That's two misses. Those that wins you the game. This last game, missed Terry again several times. Execution, little things like that, just, you know, misses. And now every quarterback's going to miss some. He seems to be missing them all. And then, like I said, I think he's pressing. Boise State, again, lows where you, again, where the lows get low, they get really low. So I think the turnaround is consistent quarterback play. If you can tell me that Blackman's going to have his best game Saturday, I'm saying Florida State wins easily. If I'm getting good James Blackman, he's going to play well. He's going to see the guys. He's comfortable. He's under control. He's gotten his emotions in check. He's reached out to whatever quarterback coach he knows. He's watched film. Hey, then I believe Florida State wins easily. Mm. However, if he's still inconsistent and he's still hit or miss, then I think you're looking at a fourth quarter toss-up. Mm. The same way all these other games have been fourth quarter toss-ups. Right. You never know.
So, I think what's holding this team back more than anything is this team still has a little bit of Jimbo 2016-2017 in it, where they are very tight. They are a wound up bunch. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I thought we had shook a lot of that out of our systems after I watched the NC State game. I was like, look at that. You know, they didn't let one play turn into another bad play. Let this play turn into another bad play. I thought it was coming through it. After the Louisville game, then the NC State game, they was coming through it a little bit. And they was starting to play loose. They were starting about having fun again. Mm-hmm. And what happened was the Clemson game happened, right? Mm-hmm. So then once that Clemson game happened, it sent the fan base into a panic. And I think those vibrations just went right through that locker room again. Like, oh, my God, you know, are we that bad? You know, we can't make plays. We can't make plays. And what you find out, you get into the Wake Forest game, and they are so wound up tight that they can't get out of their way. They can't get out of each other's way. And a prime example is the Blackman missing Keith Gavin over there by himself. Like, you so locked in to running this play. I got to get this play. I got to get this play right. You haven't even relaxed enough to even look at the whole field and see what's going on. You know what I'm saying? So,
you know, Hold on real quick. Just, and I don't think people, and Willie, one thing I didn't like about Willie talked about that play specifically, and he was like, well, the receiver should have jumped up and made some noise. That's crazy. That's crazy because then he alerts attention.
Well, at this point, Willie's just saying whatever he can to get out of the press conference.
I know. No. I know. The reason I want to bring more light to that, why it's so important that he missed it, because you make a very good point. Right. The quarterback's job is to make sure everybody's lined up. Like, before he ever snaps the ball, he's going to look left. He's going to look right. He's going to then snap the ball. That's like given every single play. That's what he's supposed to do. Look, make sure your receivers are lined up. Make sure your tight end, everybody's aligned and set before I call hike. Even in the hurry-up offense, you're still doing that. You have to. Because how do you know if your guys are aligned or they're still checking with the referees if you've never looked? So the fact that he didn't look over there lets me know you're thinking too much about I got to just get this playoff. No, you don't have to get this playoff. You still got to follow the normal procedure.
It's moving fast. It's moving fast for him. You
exactly.
know what I'm saying?
The game is right. It's moving too fast for him right now. The way you forgetting the simple things. Like that's Pop Warner. Right. You teach the Pop Warner quarterbacks, hey man, you can't call a snap before everybody gets set. So now I'm gonna look over there and I'm gonna see. Oh snap! I may take a double take. Wait a minute. Why he over there by himself, wide open? Right. Okay, I know what it is. You know what I mean? And now you can make those decisions. But when you're so wrapped up in everything, I think that's where, you know, that's what I'm talking about. So it's very important. See, him missing that is a bigger issue.
You see it on the whole team, right? Now, early in the season, they was making the wrong reads, right? The defense was leaving guys wide open. You know what I'm saying? The quarterbacks was, the offensive line was turning guys loose. But now you're seeing them, they're starting to play better, right? So now it's something on the line. And they don't want to blow it now. So a lot of times you see a defensive back, instead of just making a simple play or making a nice interception, he's pressing. You see the ball, he gets nervous because They haven't been in position to make plays in almost 2 years. You know what I'm saying? So now they're in a situation now where every rep, every snap counts. So you see a guy like Tamarion Terry, who's supposed to be this all-world wide receiver, when he was catching all those deep bombs last year, they was already out of the game. Now you're in the game. Now every catch is important. Now you see them getting tight. So I thought it was interesting Willie Taggart approach to the press conference and with the media this week, because I think he was trying to portray, let's get loose, guys. Let's be loose. And I think that's a lot of why he let the guys warm up with no pads. I know people make a big deal about that. It's because he want them to feel loose. You know what I'm saying? He want them to calm down, man. Like, y'all are right there. He keeps saying it, man. They're right there. They're right there. You're right there. But they have to calm down and start playing like that. So I think the Syracuse game is important because I really believe they can take it to Syracuse and beat Syracuse. And I think they can beat Syracuse convincing. And I think if that happens, I do think you'll see a turnaround. I really do. I do think you'll see a turnaround because a lot of the guys are playing in the scheme, but they're playing free in the scheme. Like Najerdine, when he lost him last week, that was a big deal because Najerdine does play loose and free within the scheme. Emmett Rice, he plays loose, free within the scheme. You're starting to see J-Rob, he's doing it. Marvin Wilson's starting to do it. Durden's starting to do it. Now the offense has to start doing that. You're not seeing the offense do it. You know, they got to start doing it now. You know, and that starts with James Blackman. And it starts with Tamarion Terry. And it starts with Cam Akers. They have to make plays, man. Cam, you can't fumble the football. I don't care if you rush the ball 35 times for 225 yards. You cannot have a fumble. TT got to catch every one of them, man. I mean, he got to catch every pass. He has to make plays. So they got to do that. You know what I'm saying? And right now, I think a lot of the players are starting to realize, you know what, man, the first year we got here, it was the coaches. Everybody told us the coaches. Last year, everybody said it was the coaches. But, man, now we in these games, man, and, man, I'm the one that fumbled the football. I'm the one dropping passes. I'm the one missing reads. You know what I'm saying? That's different than what they're used to. Now it's on the team to start making plays. Now, you know, Willie Taggart need to coach a little bit. Does he need to coach better in situations? Yeah. But I say it's hard to – situations are hard, man. Every coach messes them up every now and then.
Right. I 100% agree with you. So what are you really expecting to see Saturday?
I expect to see a 17-10 game. Going into the half, Florida State winning by 7. And I expect to see Florida State open it up in the third quarter. And we get about 38 to 17.
Okay. I mean, that would be a very good bounce back win. That'll be one I think that sets the fan base again calm. We've already talked about how each loss and each win is a referendum. I think at this point they're all important games. But I agree. I think a 17-10 lead at half will, have the fan base a little nervous, but again, that's kind of what they expect. If they can roll up 38 points, I believe that'd be the largest output of the season, right?
Yeah.
That'll be the largest point total of the season. That would mean probably Blackman has had a really good game. And I think that does help. That gives you something to build on, especially going into Miami. A good game going into Miami is important. And so I agree. I think let me just say what I expect. I expect the fourth quarter game again. I don't think it's going to be low scoring like Wake Forest was last week, but I do believe it's going to be a little, it's going to be close. I don't have it 38-17. I probably have it closer to, 31-20, up 4. And then they get a stop and a late touchdown in the fourth quarter, make it 31-20, something to that effect. Yeah, here's the other thing, and this is something I just thought of. Do they roll Aguayo back out there?
Good God, man. I hope not, man. Jesus Christ. We got to stop that. Bro, I'm going to tell you something, bro. It's no way. I don't even know if I have a Aguayo out there practicing kicks. He's just bad for the whole morale of the whole team, bro. Like, nah, man. I wouldn't even have Aguayo. I wouldn't even have him in the stadium. He had to watch the game from the locker room, bro.
You know, it's funny. It is, though. I don't think nobody in the fan base had any confidence he was going to make that kick. I don't believe a player or coach had confidence he was going to make that kick. I heard Willis say he made all the kicks in practice and all. That was silly to me, too. I agree. Morale-wise, I don't know if you can bring him back out.
That dude's terrible, man. I think he is the worst Florida State kicker ever. In my lifetime, he is.
Oh, by
he's the worst in my lifetime.
In my lifetime, 100%. Not even close. I can't think of anybody closer. No, I agree. I think you give the freshman a chance, man. I know he hadn't been in that position, but what I do know is momentum and sparks are a real thing. And so I think if you look at Aguayo, like you said, that's bad. It brings
that's job sabotage, man. But if Willis send really, Ricky Aguayo back out there, I know for a fact he's trying to collect that $17 million on Saturday, bro. If he send Aguayo back out there, I know what time it is, bro. I know what time it is.
No, that's funny.
I'm being real. If he send Aguayo back out there, bro, he retired back down to Tampa hanging out, bro, for the next 20, 30 years of his life, bro. I already know what time it is, bro.
I think if the freshmen go out there, let's say you roll them out.
Bro, I said DJ out there. I would send DJ out there to kick field goals, bro. I would refuse to.
No, they got the top kick in the nation. They got the top freshman kick in the nation. You have to. You give him a shot.
No,
early,
bro. It ain't gonna be no shot, bro. You going out there, bro? Be prepared.
No. What I'm saying, no. I agree with you. I agree. No. We agree on that one. I do not bring Ricky back out. Ricky, don't you even put your pads on.
Go to Hotel Duval, Ricky. Watch the game from there. I hit you up later. Let you know what we doing afterwards.
No, 100%. No, but what I'm saying is, I think one of those things we talked about, morale boosters and things that helps the team. I don't know why I can't think of his name right now.
Ryan Fitzgerald.
You send him out there and he knocks down the 43-yarder early. He knocks down, he makes it 3-0 Florida State. Fitzgerald's knocked down the 43-yarder. Man, the stadium goes crazy. Fans go crazy. The team crazy. That's the type of thing I think you fuel off of. You try Ricky out there and Ricky missed that 43-yarder, man, you talking about boos. You're going to hear all so it gets bad. And like I said, you have a fan base that's right on the line.
How can he be so bad? That's crazy.
His brother.
It's like they got bad at the same time. It was like, it's crazy.
They really did. I agree.
I'm a rational person, and I don't actually hate college players. Like when I look at guys play football, any sport, I don't irrationally hate them. But I don't know, bro. If I see Ricky Aguayo, I might squirt with Ricky Aguayo, bro. I don't.
Ricky, you have to catch the fair too, huh?
Bro, I better ever catch him in. Yeah, bro.
Oh man. So all right. So then let's hope that bowl game ain't it,
bro. If I see Rick, bro, if Ricky at the Gator Bowl, bro. Small time podcast host
beats up Florida State kicker. Oh man, that's gonna be something. Hey man, we'll make sure we'll have to create a YouTube page, put that on the YouTube. Yeah, right. Put that on.
That'll be my claim to fame, bro. I'm doing it for everybody, for the culture, bro.
For the culture. There it is. God.
Ricky Aguayo, bro. I hope I never hear his name ever again in life, bro.
Nah, I feel you. So let me ask you, and we're going to close on this point here. So if they lose, let's say we get another one of those one possession games. Fitzgerald misses the field goal late to win it. They lose 31-28. They tied up 28-28, 2 minutes left to go. We miss a field goal. Syracuse gets a field goal range. They make a field goal. They win 31-28. Is Willie your coach?
You'll be getting a statement Monday morning. you'll get your statement Monday morning saying Willie Taggart would finish the season out, but he would not return for the following season. We'll be doing a full-on coaching search.
Oh, so now that's interesting. That's interesting that you believe that they'll let him actually finish out the season.
I think they will. I think they'll let him finish the season out. I think they'll say, hey, they're going to do the same. That's what Florida did with Muschamp. They let Muschamp finish the season.
Yeah, but they show McElwain the door. See, I understand that was because you know
McElwain was out there. McElwain had the shark. He was humping the shark. Then he talking about people trying to kill him. Like McElwain had a lot of. They had to get that out of there, man. I don't know what's wrong with that dude. That dude's on a different level.
Nah, I agree. No, I mean, so I agree with you. I do believe that if they lose,
that's a wrap. That's a wrap.
If they lose, I guess what we differ is. I don't believe they give him to the end of the season. I believe it's they roll on with Odell as head coach, like they did last time. Odell, you in charge. Kendall and Harlan, y'all, you know, resume y'all roles and we start the coaching search. And you know, now we're in a full on coaching search. Here, let me say to that point, we've talked about this in previous podcasts. In the event that happens. That is not a good thing.
No, it's a terrible thing. That's a terrible thing all the way around.
Yeah, that's not a good thing. The fans will be happy.
Firing Willie isn't going to actually fix your problem. And I think that's where a lot of fans are convincing themselves that, well, the problem is Willie Taggart. No. Your problem is systemic. We got a deep issue in Tallahassee. And firing Willie Taggart doesn't fix that issue. You know? So the job needs to become more attractive. It has to be a more attractive job, and currently it's not that. So
correct,
you know.
No, and that's a very good point. I agree. It's not a Willie Taggart issue. Here's the other thing. I also don't think I think you're right at the cusp of turning your team around.
I do. Anyway. Yeah, I think that also.
So I understand why they would fire him. But I'm not necessarily sure they will.
Well, okay.
So let me say that because again, I believe if we go based on what Bobby Bowden, you know, what did he say? I don't know the four ways of the four steps to a rebuild: losing big, losing close, winning big, right? So if we say that, then they're on track. They're not winning these. They're not losing these one possession games. So now you go in the next season. Let's say they do get King. A lot of people saying that. Let's say they get King. So now you're at a position where you got your quarterback, Washington and Pope, they looking great. So now you got Baselli also, I think it's starting this week. So now we got three of your offensive line positions from what they feel squared away. You bring in two transfers. Now you're looking at a rebuilt offensive line. You're looking at a quarterback who's accounted for 50 touchdowns the last time we seen him on a football field, back in the system with his old coordinator. Getting rid of Willie would look like, oh, see, we got rid of Willie, now we winning. Nah, if all those things were actually if you get all those things and keep Willie, you're going to win next year regardless because now you have a better offensive line and you got a better quarterback. So now, even with you losing Marvin Wilson and losing Terry and losing Cam Akers, your offense is better because now you got a quarterback who, when he keeps it, he can house it on you. He can take it. He can take it 65 on you. If that defensive end crashes, oh, he gonna take it. He gonna take it and get you. He gonna get you 15. So now that keeps everybody honest. Now Kalon Laybourne is able to make make plays. So I don't think necessarily getting rid of Willie or keeping Willie, I think the results are the same next season, regardless. Man,
it is crazy.
What you're able to get for
it's
chance.
Crazy to think that we are talking about must win games in year two of a coaching tenure. That is just that's crazy to me, man. That's crazy. That's out there.
Fan bases. I 100% agree. Crazy. I believe. I thought he would at least get 3 years, and maybe he will. Again,
the fact that he can't even recruit a coach without the noise being so loud. It's like turned up, and we only in year two.
Here's the thing, and we talked about this. Florida State is unlike any other university. Florida State's fan base is vocal and they're loud and they control what's happening. And that's, again, I don't know what they're thinking in those back offices. Maybe they're looking at it and saying, maybe they told Willie, you're going to finish out. You get next year regardless. Maybe that's what they told him. You're going to get next year regardless. We want to see you. We got to see this thing play out. And maybe that's what they, and man, I would hope so. Let's, you know what I mean? If that's what they're doing, I'm understand where I'm coming from. I'm rooting for that. For them saying, win or lose, regardless of the record, you get your third year because we want to see this thing turn around. It'll put our university in a much better position if we keep you. Cool. If that's what they're doing, I'm rooting for that. But if they're not, it's going to be because the noise in the system has just gotten too old.
It's crazy. It's crazy to be in year two and it's that loud. Like it's crazy to me, man. It's crazy.
Florida State is an impatient fan base. Again, I think we talked about this last episode. Maybe it was just a conversation between me and you. But this is a fan base who's never experienced losing. Like, they've never experienced a bad coach.
Right.
You know what I mean? They don't know what it's like. They have no idea what it's like to have a coach.
Yeah, because we was pretty beside ourselves when Jimbo lost in 2012 to NC State, so.
Right, sense. Yeah, and that was like I think they won 10 games.
Well, they won 12. I mean? They won 12 that year.
Okay, so that's yeah, what I mean, right? Yeah. So and that's what I'm saying. So when you're looking at Florida State and this man, how dare you lose this? You know, it's that type of stuff we're used to. Like when we fail, it's because we lost one game that year. Man, I can't believe it. And Jimbo was like, man, well, how many? And that people got mad at Jimbo. Man, how many undefeated seasons y'all expecting to
have?
Yeah,
Jimbo said, Jimbo said, yeah, that's hard. He said, y'all ain't done a lot of winning. Yeah, Jimbo. Yeah.
Right, but even during the lost decade, we still knew it was Bobby. You know what I mean? Bobby was a good coach. We knew what Bobby could do. So this fan base went like, hey, man, it wasn't until it really got – matter of fact, it was a Wake loss then. It wasn't until 30-nothing to Wake where it was like, oh,
yeah, we probably Bobby. Shouldn't be getting blown out the Wake. What's going on?
We can't get blown out the Wake. We can lose the Wake. We can't get blown out the Wake. Bobby, it's time, buddy. It's time. And so, they went, and we left – Bobby went right into Jimbo, which immediately won. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then went into these last year's way. So having a new coach and him not immediately start winning is unfamiliar to us as a fan base. So they are at a position where they don't know how to talk. They don't know how to process this information because they ain't never had to. I know in my lifetime I ain't never had to. I've never had to process what it's like to not go to a bowl game. Last year was the first year in me watching football, college football, and being a Florida State fan, where I was like, "Dang, we ain't going to no bowl game in December." Yeah,
but you
not even like a sorry.
But you know what, man? But you know something, man, and something us as a fan base and fans everywhere, when you're rooting for your team, it flips so fast, man. It's one quarterback. Mm-hmm. That's it. Like the Jaguars believe they got hope now because the guard miss you. You know what I'm saying? It's one quarterback. It's Christian Ponder, the third string quarterback that nobody saw the talent in, that the coach makes a starter. It's one quarterback, man. You know what I'm saying? It's Deshaun Watson at Clemson. You know, that's it. It's one quarterback, so it can flip fast, man. It can flip fast. So
no, and I 100% agree with you. Yeah, you are De'Eriq King. Yeah. De'Eriq King, new offensive line away from being right. Great. 100%. Right. That was a Heisman outside shot, you know, in De'Eriq King. You get him to Florida State, he turn around Florida State football, he probably gets invited to the ceremony. He go see, and that's what it shows you the levels, right? De'Eriq King had 50 touchdowns for Houston, didn't even get an invite to the ceremony. You do that, drop 50, score 50 touchdowns at Florida State. Guarantee you winning that.
Yeah.
That's not even a question. You know what I mean? Because every game, everybody going to know about it. We on college game day every Saturday for losing.
Right.
When they winning, you better believe they're going to be on there. De'Eriq King turning around to Florida State, he'll get all the credit. Mm. And that's what I think, which is why I think he's looking at the situation and saying, Man, I can come back to Houston, drop 50, and not get nearly the publicity I can get if I go to Florida State. And that, because that the hype is real over there. So, you know, that's what I believe. We'll have to see.
All right.
Sam, you got anything else, man?
Nah, man. Let's give it out. Let's get a tweet of the day out, man.
Okay. All right. So, listen, for those of you, we appreciate all the Twitter, all our Twitter followers, man. We all the people who we follow as well. Every week, every episode, there will be a tweet of the episode, tweet of the day. Somebody on Twitter who absolutely either made us laugh, made a bunch of sense, were rational thinking, something that we felt like, you know, hey, man, everybody else should go and check this guy out. Go follow him. That's what we do here. So, hey, Sam's going to hit you with the tweet of the day.
All right. The tweet of the day goes to @Northrop_Luke. I don't know if y'all familiar with the LSU booster that got arrested at all. I think he's doing, what is he doing, 33 years?
He got 33 time.
Counts, yeah, right? Because they committed.
He got 33 counts. I think he had like five years,
33 counts. Like, well, yeah. Well, @Northrop_Luke, me arriving in federal prison after committing 40 counts of racketeering, fraud, conspiracy to get FSU a decent offensive line. That's real commitment, bro. You need more like that, bro.
Real commitment. No, what's funny is I was thinking when I saw the charges, I was like, man, I wonder which one of our millionaire fans willing to take this chance, man, to make us be great again. You know, I'll send you commissary. I'll make sure your books is good. Every time you need a hot pocket, man, I'll make sure I get you a hot pocket.
Oh, got one more tweet of the day too, man. This is an older one. This happened Sunday when everybody was talking about firing Taggart or whatever. Local rapper Tarif Knockout, mm-hmm. @TarifKnockout.
Hey, man, check out his album, man. His album dropped today. Yeah. Local rapper.
He put
man.
Check him out. I got the white numbers back. Y'all figure the rest of that shit out.
Hey, man, one man can only do but so much, man. Straight up.
Y'all be great out there, man.
Hey, y'all be great. Hey, listen, we appreciate everything. Again, like I said, check us out. We're now on iTunes. We'll be sending out the link. Be sure to follow the Twitter account, Listen Up Pod, Cast, CAS, #1. So Listen Up Podcast with the #1, no T. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, like the page, rate it 5 stars. That helps us shoot up. Also, subscribe to the podcast. So that way, every time we drop a new episode, you ain't even got to look. It'll automatically be at the top of your podcast on Apple. For our SoundCloud supporters, hey, y'all the day ones. We appreciate y'all for real. So podcast will always be on SoundCloud. It's going to be on iTunes as well. And even shortly, we're not going to forget about y'all Android subscribers. We mess with y'all too. We'll also be on Google Cloud shortly as well. I mean, Google Podcasts as well shortly. So be on the lookout. As always, this was the Listen Up Podcast. We appreciate you.
Yo.
Thank you. Far too kind. Can I get an encore? Do you want more? Cook it with the Brooklyn floor. So for one last time, I need y'all to roar. Now what the hell are you waiting for? After me, there should be no more. So for one last time, make some noise. Who you know fresher than whole? Riddle me that. The rest of y'all know where I'm lurking at. Can't none of y'all mirror me back. Yeah, hear me rap, it's like Angie rapping his prime. I'm Young H.O., rap's Grateful Dead. Back to take over the globe, now break bread. I'm in Boeing Jets, Global Express. Out the country, but the blueberries still connect. On the low, but the yacht got a triple deck. But when you young, what the f*** you spec? Yep. Grand opening, grand closing. Damn your manhole, crack the can open again. Who you gonna find open a hand with no pen? Just draw inspiration.